Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the next level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. Hold on to your seats. It's not going to be a bumpy ride, but we're going to do smooth sailing up to the stars because my special guest tonight is Christine Bradley, an MD, who is going to tell you a little bit about herself, but she's willing to go on a spiritual journey with me, so it will be interesting to find out where we end up. But that's the beauty of life. You never know where you're going to end up if you keep an open mind and open yourself to adventures. And speaking of adventures, I'm having one in Pennsylvania. I'm not in my own home. I'm at the home of a special friend who's been kind enough to let me host the show from here. It's a beautiful day here, but it's a little warm, and so guess what? I don't have a suit coat on. I don't even have a shirt on, but I've got my pants on, so hang tight. At any rate, let me introduce my special guest and my number one fan, a beautiful woman named Jill, is on the line, and I'm sure she'll want to put her two cents in. What I'm going to do, Jill, is I'm going to bring your microphone up live, and then when it's time for you to speak, you can speak, and I won't have to fuss around with microphones. So, Christine, would you tell us a little bit about yourself, and how are you tonight?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me tonight, David.
Oh, I'm so glad to have you here. I've been looking forward to it.
So have I. So a little bit about myself. My name's Christine, and I'm a single mother of two boys. I'm an MD, although I take a non-pharmaceutical approach to health and wellness. My background is also, I have a degree in psychology. And when I was in the middle of my residency training in family medicine, I was about 6 months left to go of 2 years, I ended up having a bit of a health crisis. And I've always kind of struggled with the pharmaceutical surgical approach to wellness. And in that journey back to wellness, I had to figure out how to heal myself from an autoimmune disorder that allopathic medicine couldn't help me with. And so I went on a journey, and I actually did some traveling. Can you hear me?
Yes, and Jill, you're live, by the way, just to let you know. Jill is my number one fan, and Christine will pick up the thread in a minute. Jill, how are you tonight?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. Meet Christine.
Hi, Christine. Hi. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well, Jill.
Jill is
so
an amazing
fan. So I'll hang on and listen.
Yeah, that's fine. But I just wanted to tell you two cents about Jill. She's an amazing fan. She has brought me amazing guests. I'm going to have Dr. Bernie Siegel on the show on September 11th. And
when
I wrote to him, he responded in 24 hours. I told him I had a new addiction and recovery book coming out that's going to blow people out of the water, and that I maintain that it's not only possible to be in recovery, you can recover and heal yourself from any addiction like I have. And if I can do it, anybody can. I asked him if he'd review the book. He said he'd write the foreword. The book is coming out. I signed with a major publisher. Three best-selling authors are endorsing the book. It will be out from Balboa Press, an offshoot of Hay House, and the Kindle will be out next month, and it's going to be a $1 million bestseller, so hang tight.
Wow, that's exciting.
It is more than exciting. I've written 22 books, four of which have been published, that have all gotten five-star reviews, but they have not been promoted, so I've only made $1,000. I'm ready to make $1 million.
Sounds like you're on the right path.
And I'm going to share the wealth. I'm not a greedy person. Right, Jill?
Yes, correct.
Yeah. Okay, Christine, sorry for the interruption. Please continue and tell us, if you would, what the autoimmune condition was.
Sure. So my autoimmune condition at the time was thyroid. I had low thyroid, hypothyroidism, and eventually I actually ended up getting diagnosed with chronic fatigue syndrome. So basically my body just kind of quit on me, and nobody could tell me how to fix it. So I decided to take my family and move to Central America where we could live outdoors and live healthy and learn how to eat raw and be outdoors for the most part. And I actually was very, very quickly was able to drop about 70 pounds. I got my life back. I got my vitality back. I started focusing more on yoga and on meditation, which is a big part of myself as well. And by the time I got myself back to a healthier state than I've ever been in, I was ready to go back to medicine. And that door just wouldn't open for me. I had been out too long. And so I decided to look at ways to help clients and people that with what I had learned. So I became a wellness coach. And I went to the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, which is a holistic integrative approach to health and wellness. And they focus on really on teaching about how to heal chronic inflammatory diseases with food. And like Hippocrates, who's the founder of modern medicine, stated, let food be thy medicine and medicine be thy food. And that's the foundation with how I work with my clients as a health and wellness coach.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. I love my work.
You know, isn't that the way it should be for everybody? If they only uncover whatever their interests are and follow their passions and follow their joy, then life is a continual joy and there's no misery. Yeah, that's beautiful.
So I have a question.
Yes.
What brought on the autoimmune disease, do you know?
Yes. So basically for me, I had been living in a very, very chronic, stressful lifestyle for many, many years. Part of my stress over the years was when I was in medical school, I lost my husband to cancer, and I had a young child at the time. And for me, that was probably one of the most incredibly stressful experiences I've ever been through. And it also showed me how to look at a patient's perspective of what the medical system was and how it lacked, in a sense, to support patients, especially emotionally. And so when I went to residency, I was working 90 hours a week. I was on call every third night. My sleep-wake cycle was completely messed up. I had other people raising my children, and I wasn't at home. And so my body just couldn't take the stress load. And with a really toxic diet and a high stress load, my body just decided that was it. It wasn't going to continue. And it did. It just stopped. My energy was affected. My physical body was affected. My mental capacity was affected. And I really had to focus on de-stressing, decluttering my life. And I did that by moving to Central America and living on top of a mountain pretty much for a while until I could begin to get my health and vitality back.
Beautiful. Well, that's an amazing story, but it speaks to me of what seems to be so apparent, and that is that dis-ease within self or stress causes disease. And there are so many people that just don't get it. What do you think that is?
I mean, there's a lot of physiology behind dis-ease and disease. And much of the typical diseases that are very common these days are of a chronic inflammatory nature. And stress is definitely a big part of that. And it's also a large part of hormonal disruptions from all the chemicals and toxins in our environment. It's very multifactorial. There's so many things that we're kind of being hit with on a daily basis. I mean, there's over 180,000 chemicals in our day-to-day lives, and a lot of those are carcinogenic. Our body has to deal with that. And so most people are walking around with their detoxification system about 90% full, which means once they have an event, like a transition or a death of a loved one or moving away or a loss of a job, a lot of people will begin to spiral downwards health-wise. And you see it the time. Mm-hmm.
It happened to me 10 years ago. I almost died because I made 10 major life changes within a six-month period. It really took a toll. Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, you know, you can read my book and find out a little bit about it. I'm not going to bore the audience, although they might be very interested, but this is not about me. It's about you. What I'm wondering is, this is totally unrelated, but what are the mitochondria?
The mitochondria are basically the machinery inside of each individual cell that gives us energy.
Okay.
And every time we make energy, we're using the mitochondria to make that.
What happens when they break down? Is that what causes us to grow old?
That's a good question. We begin to lack vitality. It affects our energy. It affects our libido. It affects our mood. It affects the entire system, in a sense, because if we can't make energy, then we can't live to our fullest potential.
Well, the reason I asked, and I'm not going to put in a plug for a product or for a company that I'm affiliated with, because I need to learn more. But what I understand is there is a company out there, it's a $3 billion company, that has bought another company. They are very much holistic in their outlook. They have engaged 70 scientists, many MDs, including Nobel Prize winners, and one of the products they have out actually repairs the mitochondria and increases vitality. I'm interested that you use that word, and reverses the aging process.
So a lot of times we have a lot of cellular damage inside of our cells. You get cellular DNA damage. You get free radicals. I mean, the environment that we live in a sense, is very toxic for the most part for all of us. And it damages the cells. And the chronic inflammation in our bodies, all of that has a huge impact on vitality, cellular energy, all of it. And it's all interrelated. And from a functional medicine perspective, you have to look at the whole system to begin to see what's causing disease and then eventually disease in the body.
Yeah. Well, let's take it down that route a little bit. Take a scientific, medical, and spiritual journey on what might be possible.
Okay.
Do you think it is possible for us to reverse aging or maintain aging or live forever?
Oh, well, that's a very interesting question, because I think the human body is actually capable of living to be 125 years old. And certainly a lot of the research coming out now is saying that, you know, within 50 years to 100 years, we should be living a lot longer than that. I think lifestyle has a huge impact on the body and how it can rapidly age. I think there are certain spiritual practices that definitely help with the process of reducing the aging process and slowing it down. I think there's lifestyle such as food choices, definitely. I also, one thing I didn't mention earlier is I'm also a certified yoga teacher. So yoga I love yoga.
I love yoga. I love it. Yeah.
Oh, good. And that's definitely something that increases energy and vitality and slows the aging process down.
Right.
And to look at it from a spiritual perspective. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No. I was just going to say, I know an 85-year-old lady who sells these products. She's 85 going on 65, and she can do headstands because she does yoga. Yeah.
Exactly. And a lot of people who have been doing yoga for their whole lives, basically, they don't look their age. They look 20 years younger or more.
Right.
There's definitely something. And from a spiritual perspective and a yogic perspective, I guess you could say, we're much more than our physical body.
There's,
and yoga, the term yoga means to yoke or to align, and it's the aligning of all the different parts of us that make us who we are, including all of the energy bodies or the what they call the nadi lines, and then the chakras that we're familiar with. And that all feeds into our physical body. And the purpose of yoga is to open all those channels up so that you can actually be more of your potential.
Now, what would you say to somebody that says chakras are a load of hooey?
I would tell them to start doing yoga. And I would explain that the purpose of yoga is to move blockages out of the body, both physically, emotionally, mentally, and energetically. And I would basically say try yoga for a month or two and see how you feel. And after that, I would say to them, well, that a lot of that is the opening of your energetic body, the opening of the etheric essence of who you are rather than the physical essence of who you are. It's a hard one,
It is. But what I was going to say is, folks, I have never in all the years I've done yoga met anybody who's come into yoga and not liked it and not benefited from it.
I have
even
a question.
People that are quite sick. Yes.
What kind of diet should we all be on?
Well, that's
good
interesting, Joe. Definitely. Here's the deal, though. I think because we're all different and we're all individuals, it's all bio-individual. I think everybody has different times in their life where they will benefit from a different type of diet. For somebody, for example, who's diabetic and maybe has some heart disease, high blood pressure, I would say definitely an anti-inflammatory diet. So a diet that has healthy fats, lean protein, and lots and lots and lots of fruits and vegetables, specifically the vegetables that are green. So those green leafy cruciferous vegetables have an incredibly healing effect on the body. If a person is healthy to begin with, they may decide to go on a maintenance diet. So there isn't a right or wrong answer for what diet everyone should be on. And in fact, I don't think there is one. There's so many out there. You have to kind of experiment and see which one works for you in what stage of life you're in.
I like that. Very non-judgmental. And folks, think of it not just in terms of diet or period in your life that you're in, whether or not one diet suits you now or you change it later for whatever reason, just if you prefer something else, do not judge it. But I heard Christine say no right or wrong. Now, I'd like you to consider this about things that you've judged in your life as right and wrong. Now, you would not be where you are at today if everything that had ever happened to you had not happened. Therefore, it's all right. It's all good. Why cast a judgment on it and say something bad happened to me or that was wrong, that I'm a sinner? You know, that's ridiculous. You're a human being. You're a spiritual being having a human experience. So, you know, get real and be gentle with yourself and stop practicing judgment. Judge not, lest you be judged. What do you think, Christine?
Absolutely. It's all about enjoying the moment that you're in. And judgment comes when you're living in outside of that moment. Everybody needs to walk their path, and there's not one right path for one, everybody.
Right.
And that's what being a human being is about, is experiencing life. And that's how I work with clients, is to help them find those pieces that are blocked, be it food, be it lifestyle, be it even stress for that matter, and help them unblock that so that they can have more energy and increase that thriving in their life rather than just surviving.
Let's go down this path a little bit more.
Sure.
What would you say to somebody, you know, you're not a non-judgmental person, very accepting person. What would you say to somebody who says, unless you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're damned and going to go to hell forever?
Like I said, there's not one path for everybody. And, I mean, the church that I used to go to when I lived in Georgia, just north of Atlanta, was called Unity Church. And
I
remember.
Unity. Yeah.
Oh, do you? It's a great church. I mean, it's the most
loving
and accepting.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
And very much a heart-centered approach to Christianity.
Absolutely.
But there
very
were
affirmational.
There were people. Yes, absolutely. And it's all about unity. I remember there were people in the church that were Jewish, and there were people that were, I'm pretty sure there were a couple Muslims, and there were Christians,
yep.
definitely. And
yep.
we just all loved one another and came together in prayer and in affirmation and in belief in one another. So I would say that if a person said that to me, I would smile at them and say, I'm glad that you have found that for yourself, and I'm glad
right.
that that sustains
right.
you in your life.
Yes, yeah. But what
I would try not to judge.
What happens when somebody puts that on somebody else? Are you going to stand up and speak up for that person who's being maligned and told they're a sinner and going to go to hell?
If I was in the middle of it, I'm not. That's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to step on people's toes, but I also don't like
right.
seeing people being held down or being put down
right.
or judged.
Right.
And I have left
right.
churches in the past, non-denominational churches, where there was judgment that was occurring. It would depend on the situation. It would depend how well I
yeah.
knew the people, I guess, but I probably
right.
would say something. But I would
well,
try to do
you know,
it in a compassionate, loving way.
Right, and that's important. I guess what I was thinking was taking it to an extreme, being a German in Hitler's Germany, watching what's going on there and not speaking up because of fear.
But fear
that's
can
a tough
really
nut
drive.
To crack.
It is, and fear can really drive people, especially when family's involved and your loved ones
right.
are involved. People begin to, if people get into the fear consciousness, or that fear and it just driving them, it's really, really hard to get outside of that. If they are already
yeah.
on a spiritual path, they may be able to catch themselves. But, I mean, that's almost an impossible question to answer.
It is, isn't it? You know, and
yeah.
it's the kind of situation where unless you're there, you know, it's all rhetorical. And
mm-hmm.
it's mind-boggling. It is, it's like a million-dollar question. But it's a
mm-hmm.
good question to ask, and it's a good question for
yeah.
people to think about, because we're living in times where that could happen again. History repeats
but,
itself
but it's happening
until
now.
The lessons learned. It is
but
happening.
But it is happening now.
I know it
in
is.
The,
I know it is.
And
it's
this,
frightening.
It is, and can I share a story that I just recently
please,
saw?
Please do.
I have a friend, and she's grown up in New York, and she's Jewish, and she was raised Jewish, and she went to Jewish schools and learned the Jewish religion in her school. And she's
yeah.
actually speaking up now for Palestine and in her posts on Facebook and saying that this is not how I was raised, what's going on. I don't really mean to open up a can of worms here, but what's going on is wrong. We're all here to love one another and support one another, and this what's going on is wrong. And to
yeah.
see that she's actually speaking against Israel at this point and speaking up for support of the Gaza, to me, that
uh-huh.
just brought tears to my eyes.
So do you think the Jews are doing it to the Palestinians now?
that's another can of worms. I think that's what a lot of people are saying. It is a loaded question.
Yeah.
I think there's always more to the story than what meets the eye. But my opinion, I think that, and I do have a lot of Jewish friends as well, so I want to be careful what I say here.
Yeah, and
because
it's not the majority either. It's just an undercurrent. I mean, good always overcomes evil, right?
Yeah. I think
yeah.
that the Palestinian people are, I don't think it's a fair fight, basically.
No.
I think Israel has the upper hand, and I do think that what's going on there is unacceptable from a humanity standpoint. I would say that it's very extreme, and it is in my prayers every day that we can have peace in that part of the world, and that
yes,
and that's all I would like to say about that. But it's definitely in my heart and in my mind what's going on there. It's not good.
Well, you believe prayer is powerful, don't you?
Yes, I do. Absolutely.
And do you think that sometimes the best thing that we can do rather than to stick our noses in?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, me too.
Is to send light and love to that situation and prayer? Yes, absolutely.
You know, let me ask you this question. Do you believe the consciousness of a single person, such as Jesus Christ, can raise the consciousness of all?
Yes, I believe that there's power in a collective.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the consciousness with which Jesus Christ carried himself and was is more and more coming into our world now.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a collective of consciousness and awareness that is carrying a certain frequency that is helping certain situations on the planet that are based on fear and are based on the negative emotions. I definitely think there's a collective force that can occur with a belief of prayer or a belief of compassion or a belief of love,
mm-hmm.
unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I appreciate you going with the flow here, which I think is so important for everybody to do, my personal belief. But I want to give you the opportunity to talk about your passions. Then we'll pick it up with spiritual journey. I mean, if that's where you want to go, that's fine. Then I'd like to open it up to Joe for questions, and we'll see what mm-hmm. we can do within the hour. How does that sound?
That sounds lovely. Yes, I'm enjoying this. Thank you for having me, David. This is great.
Oh, you're a blessing. Thank you for being here today. I'm really enjoying this immensely, as I do all of my shows. And by the way, folks, if I didn't introduce Christine as a special guest, let me tell you, she is special. What's more, every guest I have on, no matter what hat they wear, whether they're the so-called common man or a best-selling author, and I've had those too, they're all special because we are all special and beloved children of God. And why anybody would regard anybody as anything less than special is beyond me, because we are unique creations of the ultimate source of our being. Therefore, we are in essence God as we are in God and all living creation. Are you with me, Christine?
Yes, I am. Sorry, there was a bit of a lag there, the internet.
No problem. Yeah, no problem. What did you think about my statement, the belief?
Absolutely. Without getting into usually discussion, I think that we are all here to experience God in our lives. And I believe that we are here to allow that spiritual side, and many people call that your soul, your higher self, the Holy Spirit, to come through to allow us to encompass that in our lives so that we can walk our spiritual purpose and our higher purpose.
Well, speaking of higher purpose, what in this lifetime is calling you? Where are you at now? Where do you see you're going? What are your hopes and dreams? What are your passions that you want to share with people? Is there a soapbox you want to get up on? This is your time.
Well, definitely. I've always loved the human body and how it works and how it doesn't work and how to help fix it. So medicine was definitely a calling for me. But where I fell short with medicine was that it was such a pharmaceutical industry. And in a sense, that doesn't, in my opinion, always help the body get better. It's more of a Band-Aid approach. So my passion is sharing a healthy lifestyle, teaching people what real food is and how that can heal the body from the inside out. I love working with people, and by learning what I've learned from my own experiences and to be able to begin to share that with my clients, that's what gets me up in the morning. That's what makes me so passionate and so happy to be alive.
All right. Great.
For me down the line,
No, I was just going to say, I think everybody should be able to wake up that way and say, thank you, God, I'm alive today. I am looking forward to the day. Amen.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes if I'm finding I'm a little bit tired, which we all do from time to time, and I get on a call with a client, by the time I'm done with that client, I could go and run a marathon. I love working with people. And having that ability, it's just so wonderful.
And
I don't even
have knees that work anymore. But then, metaphorically, I could run a marathon. I could always ski down the ski slope, or do yoga till the cows come home.
Yeah, exactly. And so down the line, I do want to see myself in as a keynote speaker in front of larger audiences, sharing what I've learned and my passion, and helping people find their way back to wellness, because so many of us are not well in so many ways, emotionally, mentally, physically, and even spiritually. And the yoga for me is also another big part of my path.
Can we talk about balance, heart, mind, body, and soul, and then pick up where you were going? What do you think, is there one aspect that's more important than the rest will fall into place, or do we need to do a constant juggling act?
That's a really good question. Really, if you look at a foundation that really helps us to become healthy, and I'm going to go into more the Institute for Integrative Nutrition's approach, they have something called primary foods and they have something called secondary foods. And primary foods are 80% of what keep us balanced in our lives. And they're not food. They're everything but food. They're all our lifestyle issues. So relationships. Do we have healthy relationships at home, at work, with our children, at church, with our neighbors, with our friends, with our spouses or partners? And if there's something that's imbalanced there, then no matter what you eat, it's not going to probably have the most beneficial effect on your nutrition and your body. So that's the first primary food. The second primary food would be career, and we were just talking about, are you passionate about what you do? Do you love what you do? Are you able to harness your passion and put it into your work? And if you aren't able to do that and not feel that way, again, there's an imbalance in your life and your energy isn't going to be as strong in your life's purpose in a sense, right? Your vitality will be lower.
Right.
Spirituality is another one. If we don't have a spiritual practice or religious something that sustains us inside or outside of ourselves, beyond our lifestyle, beyond our food, beyond our relationships, then we are going to probably feel more empty and not as alive. And then the final piece is exercise. If we don't have a strong exercise program, because our bodies are meant to move, then we're not going to thrive to our full potential.
Well, do you know what I believe?
What do you believe?
Okay, here goes.
Okay, I'd
love
to hear it.
Here are my priorities. God, friends and family, which is also God. My stuff, which is I've recovered from, but I'm there for other people. That's also God. Then work, which I do about 20 hours a week. I do about 100 hours. I'm exaggerating in 20 hours, but I'm a multitasker. I get the job done. Well, that's also God, because I do this radio show and I write spiritual books. But to me, if I place God first in everything, God always lets me know what I need to do and what's out of balance. Therefore, he reminds me when I'm hungry. He reminds me when I need to exercise. He reminds me when I need to reach out for help or to honor a feeling or to gently confront somebody. So that I'm taking care of myself and not being a doormat. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And that has to do with alignment of your body, your mind, and your spirit. And God can then work through you when all of that's aligned.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I believe
yeah.
so much in yoga, because it's all about aligning. And it brings you into that place where you can meditate and become one, in a sense, with God.
Right, right. Well, please mm-hmm. excuse the interruption. Would you continue with what you were saying, if you can pick up the thread?
Sure, of course. So those are the primary foods. So you had relationships, career, spirituality, and exercise. And that's 80% of the foundation of who you are. And if those are all in balance within your life, then we can begin to move into the secondary foods, which are the actual foods that you eat. And foods that we eat are very essential to our health and wellness and vitality. And so then you begin to understand, what are real whole foods? You know, does that food still have dirt on it? Or does that food have 10 ingredients that you can't pronounce on the box? Does that food have artificial coloring? Does that food have MSG? And as you begin to heal your body and balance your lifestyle, by adding in these whole healthy foods, you can crowd out all the stuff that doesn't work for you, such as the processed food, or what I would call Franken food, in a sense, that isn't even real
mm-hmm.
food. And so by bringing primary foods and secondary foods into balance, which takes a time, like it takes a lot, it takes some, you know, research says about 6 months to take on sustainable life-changing habits, where they become not so much habits, but your lifestyle, and you can maintain those changes. So it
mm-hmm.
takes about that amount of time to begin to incorporate all these changes, and that's how I work with my clients as a
mm-hmm.
wellness coach, health and wellness coach, is slowly over the course of 6 months in a six-month program implementing changes and supporting them. They're doing all the work. I'm just there being their
mm-hmm.
cheerleader or their coach on the side.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Anything else you want to say on the subject?
I think pretty much I've covered most of what I do. I mean, part of the process in that of teaching about primary and secondary foods is teaching about bioindividuality. So that means that we're all different and not one approach is going to work for everybody. Teaching people about inflammation in the body and how that affects health and wellness, and how that can create disease if it becomes a chronic inflammation. Teaching my clients to do detox, because we live in such a chemical soup, in a sense, in this world, in our air, our food, and our environment, and our water. It's really important to continuously detox. Gut health is essential as well in this process. Immune function and increasing immune function, balancing hormones, all of these are a holistic approach to wellness, and it's considered something called functional medicine, where they look at the whole system, not just the Band-Aid approach at the bottom of the problem.
Related to holistic? Okay.
It is a holistic approach, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I have had a train of thought that's gone back to something we talked about earlier. Can we go there?
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Okay. Now, not to cast any aspersions, I'm not sure
mm-hmm.
where you're at with Unity Church today. I think they are wonderful and very much aligned. I've decided I've outgrown it and moved on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I formed my own quote-unquote church, which combines a lot of what I learned from Unity, other religious and philosophical traditions,
mm-hmm.
what I've learned from 12-step programs, in other words, check-ins, time check-ins where people talk about topics. But what
mm-hmm.
I'm wondering is, do you believe church is wherever you're at?
Sorry, could you repeat that? Do I believe church is?
Wherever you are at.
Do I believe churches wherever I'm at?
Mm-hmm.
Could
kind
you clarify what you're asking?
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
Oh,
I understand.
Okay.
You get it?
Yes. Like, is my church wherever I'm at? Absolutely. So my church some days might be on my yoga mat, potentially.
Right.
Is that what you mean? Like
right.
church?
Yes.
Church
yep.
is an institution,
yep.
right? And an
yep.
institution
right.
can bring a community of people together. But
yes.
within church is an individualized path to God.
Well, you know, my friend is at church right now. He's out in the kitchen drawing. He's in
mm-hmm.
touch with his creative energy. He is in church right now. I'm in church right now with you. I'm in communion with you, mm-hmm. sharing wonderful ideas about how to take care of oneself at all levels. I'm in church, and you're in church, right?
Yes. I think
yeah.
that's because God is always with us. And wherever we
That's
go,
right.
if we're walking our path and our purpose, yes, we're in a sense in church or in communion with God, with the Holy
right.
Spirit, with our soul,
right.
our higher self, all of that in combination. And yes, as long as you're connected and aware and living in a sense outside of just the personality, desires and wants, but you're living in service, for example,
yes.
or in connection. You're always aware of your connection to everyone around you.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Connection is the key. When we connect mm-hmm. with other people, we are connecting with Source. We are respecting
yes.
the Christ, the Buddha, the Allah, the Gandhi, the Martin Luther King Jr. within one another, the Jesus within one another, because we are all ultimately one. This is what Unity Church teaches. And that's my
yes.
belief. There's one God, and we are all a part of it, as he is a part of us, everywhere, present, all-powerful, all-knowing. Miracles can mm-hmm. happen every day. Now, why do you think miracles stopped happening after the Bible was written? Jesus said, even greater works than I have done, you shall do. Why do you think that is?
Because I think we're supposed to always be growing beyond the parent in a sense.
Yes.
Our roles as humans is to continuously evolve our consciousness
mm-hmm.
and our
then why aren't,
spiritual side.
Go ahead. Why
mm-hmm.
aren't we resurrecting the dead? Huh?
I'm not
All
sure.
Right, I've got to go there. I've got to go there. Do you believe Jesus resurrected the dead and rose from the dead? I know that's a very personal question.
From an esoteric perspective, yes, I think he did. I think he was here to teach an amazing life lesson from his experience here, and he was able to embody the Christ consciousness within himself in a way that people at his time could not.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand what I mean by that?
I do.
Okay.
I don't know if other people do. If they don't know, they should be calling in and asking. yeah.
I
they
think
will be someday. They will be someday
mm-hmm.
because this show is going to go big.
Okay.
Go ahead.
But with respect to resurrection, I think that's what we're all working towards, in a sense, as we begin to awaken and walk our spiritual path, so that we can embody more and more of God within us. I think that's what I'm going to say for now.
That's good enough, and thank you for going there with me. I know that I
have a question.
You up. Please, I was going to invite you to jump in, Jill.
I'm going to completely change the subject. If
okay.
I were your client and I came to you and said my biggest problem are my thoughts and my thoughts are on all the wrong things, what would you suggest I do?
Oh, okay. So one of the best ways to begin to get out of your thoughts, do you mean more like the chatter, the monkey mind chatter that goes on in a lot of people? Is that
I'm
what you
not
mean
sure.
Today?
I'm not
okay.
sure what... They're all useless.
Oh,
my thoughts are, a lot of them are just useless.
Okay.
You're
so
disaffirming yourself, Jill. You're disaffirming yourself. Most of your thoughts are useful, but I hear what you're saying.
A lot of times we get stuck in what's called beta brainwaves. So that's when we're in a very concrete thinking and we allow our mind to really run amok, in a sense. And in the process of learning how to meditate, for example, I'm going to take it to yoga, for example, we begin to still the mind, and we do it through breath, and we do it through meditation. And so one of my clients that I work with has a lot of processes where she's kind of running the same script in her mind over and over and is kind of stuck in fears and such.
Yeah.
And I work with her through meditation. So I do a lot of guided meditation. I have her connect to source. I have her expand her awareness. I have her bringing in light into her body and grounding that in. And then we go into more of a deeper place with our breath. And we begin to work on working with certain qualities such as compassion, gratitude, love. There's many different ones. That joy is another one. And we begin to slow down so that we can shift out of that beta brainwave and more into the relaxation of the alpha brainwave. And that's when the chatter that goes on, or the mind that runs and runs, it begins to slow down.
How does the person get caught in the beta brain? What brings that on?
Society and how we live. Because we live in a very personality-oriented society. I want this. It's very materialistic. It's very much oriented on the self. That happens from a very, very young age. We're kind of modeled that as children, that to be that way, to be like, I want this, I desire that, that will make me happy. And we take our happiness from our inner, our into the outer world. And that's why so many people are so unhappy with their lives, because they don't realize that the healing and the happiness and the joy is actually within themselves.
Well, let me ask you a question, because I think this is very, very important. What can we do when we are being bombarded by judgments, by seeming attachments to things that we think are going to fill our spirits up and that leave us coming up on empty? What are we going to do when people are mean to us, when there's bombs going off, planes falling from the sky? What are we going to do to maintain that sense of peace and reclaim our joy?
Being aware of yourself. Being aware of your thoughts, for sure, saying, I'm not that thought, and letting that go. So non-attachment to our thoughts. Breathing is an amazing process. Most of us breathe with a third of our lung capacity. We're not breathing with the full 100%. So the oxygen levels in our body are already quite low. And then when we live in cities, especially, the percentage of oxygen in the cities is much, much lower than when we're out in a more of a rural setting. So getting outdoors as well, connecting to the earth, being more grounded, for sure. All of those things will definitely help. I know for myself, when I'm not feeling fully grounded, or I'm feeling more anxious, or something's bothering me, I also use essential oils. And those really help my mood and help stabilize as well. Not to plug the line that I use, but I do love a certain brand of essential oils, and I take them everywhere with me, and they're a big part of my wellness routine as well. So there's many different ways.
Well, you know, I think that it's really very simple, and we've complicated the bejesus out of things. All we need to do is shift our focus and do what Esther Hicks, who channels Abraham, says, and not allow us to have anything take us from consistent moments of joy. And when we're not there, we need to reach for the next best thought, action, or feeling. And quite often it takes an action, something like watching a sunrise, holding a baby, playing with a pet, tending to your garden, calling a friend, allowing yourself to be there for somebody when they reach out for help. I mean, that's amazing. I love what you said about connecting with nature. How much more connected to source can you get that way? What do you think?
Oh, wow. I think that we live in such a industrialized, chemicalized society for the most part, that we have forgotten how to connect to the earth. And the earth actually can remove the charge in our body that causes disease in a sense.
Absolutely.
And when we stand, and when we stand on the earth with our feet, with the moisture even on the grass, that actually reduces the electricity in our body that can cause disease or discomfort. And when we do that, we begin neutral in a sense. And our bodies have a chance to heal with that. So for me, if I'm having a rough day, which we all do, right? I'll go out into nature.
We don't have to. We don't have to. It's not to say that shit doesn't happen. It depends on whether we align ourselves with our spirits and detach from the shit, right?
Yeah. For me, it's my children. I love them very dearly, but they cause a lot of stress because they're growing up and they're learning.
Yeah. But that's
and
because
that
you're taking on,
where,
my dear.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I do, apparently.
We've got to take responsibility each step of the way.
Definitely.
Yeah. You know what's amazing to me? This show is about finding common ground. Now, my first guest was a fundamentalist. Now, I wasn't going to argue with her. She said that we are but the clay potter's wheel. In other words, we literally are clay, whereas I took a metaphorical approach. I mean, I'm clay, that's dumb.
Mm-hmm.
We are metaphorically. But are we, I guess we can be clay. But you know what I'm saying. We're not a puddle of clay right now. We may have elements that comprise clay, but we're not clay. I mean, that's metaphorical. That's my belief, and she's entitled to her belief. But my show is about finding common ground and relating to others rather than comparing yourselves to others. So you're not getting into a place of judgment or argument. The contrast is delicious. Different Strokes for Different Folks, that's the name of my program. But what I found to be amazing is that as I've gone through time on the show moment by moment, because that's where eternity is happening, I have not found a single point that I have disagreed upon with another guest. In other words, I've been attracting people with divergent beliefs, religions, et cetera, and not a single thing that did not resonate for me. Isn't that amazing?
And that is true with resonance. We definitely will resonate or bring people into our lives that have something that we can relate to, and then you have that in common. So that makes total perfect sense.
Yeah. Jill, is there anything else you want to ask Christine? Because we're getting toward the end of the hour.
I would like to thank her, and I think she's great. Thank you.
She's an angel, isn't she?
Yes.
Thank you so much, Jill. Thank you, David.
Do you believe that angels walk in human bodies, Christine?
Yes, I do. It's the same as miracles. I believe that when we begin to ask for guidance and ask for assistance, I definitely believe that we can resonate or have that come into our lives. And the support of angels are definitely around us on a daily basis if we choose to embrace that.
So can you do something for me and for the audience?
Okay.
It may not be much of a leap. Can you affirm on this program that you are a living angel?
I think we're all living angels. We're all humans and spirits.
We all have
spirits
that potential,
and
right?
Human form. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think when you,
you become...
Go ahead.
Don't you believe in the power of affirmation?
Yes, I do. Absolutely.
And that it's,
I believe
that it's so important to claim something that you wish to possess, be it a miracle, a quality, whatever, to possess it in the here and now with all your heart and soul, to believe it to be true and manifest it in the here and now and claim it to be so.
Absolutely, and that's how I live my life. I focus on the things that I believe in and the affirmation. Affirmations are just energy, and energy is never broken. Energy has to be put into what you're expressing. So, of course, that's only going to become bigger and bigger and eventually come into physical form. But I also believe that we're building bridges for ourselves, and our angels, our spirit guides are always there with us, building those bridges before we even know we need them. So the next step or the next leap, even though we feel like it's a stretch, it usually isn't. There's usually something that we step onto as we make that leap of faith.
The help is always there, right?
Yes, absolutely. At least from my own experience.
We just need to reach out for it and be open-minded.
Yes, and that's the difference between belief and then believing something, but also invoking that, so sending out. So, you know, ask and you shall receive. That is exactly
right.
It. If you don't ask, it probably won't be there.
Is belief the strongest base that you can have, or is there something stronger than belief?
I mean, belief can be so many things. Belief can be, if you believe in something and you link it to compassion or unconditional love or gratitude, absolutely. I think that's probably the strongest, faith and belief. Yes.
Well, do you know what I believe?
What do you believe?
Hope is a stepping stone to faith. Faith is a stepping stone to inner knowing, which is a stepping stone to wisdom and knowledge, and knowledge is the bedrock upon which I stand. And from that place, all miracles can happen, because belief can be blind, but it leads to an inner knowing when you connect to source, and from source, anything is possible. What do you think?
Absolutely, and that comes back to the alignment of the body, the mind, and the spirit. And when they're all working together, that's when the great miracles happen. That's when everything, the mountains start to move in your life.
That's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. I love metaphors, and I love moving mountains. And do you think Jesus moved a mountain?
I think he moved a lot of mountains, but I think we're all moving mountains in our own ways, too. So
hey, we've moved
just
a few tonight.
We have.
Haven't we? We've moved a few mountains.
Yes, we have.
I thank you so much. You are a mountain mover.
Thank you. So are you. And
yeah,
so are
absolutely.
You, Jill.
We all are. We all are mountain movers, so we all need to affirm that. Because we are no better or worse than anybody else. We all have the same potential, although we have our own unique gifts, different strokes for different folks. And we need to get in touch, so I believe, this is my belief, we need to get in touch with what feels good, what feels quote-unquote right for us. Because let's face it, diversity, variety is the spice of life. So we're all unique, just like different snowflakes. There's no two snowflakes that are the same. So get with the program and accept who you are. Accept all the richness that you are, and accept the richness of your fellow man, and stop judging one another. That's a bunch of bullshit.
Amen to that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm trying to get this computer to do its thing so I can end the show. Maybe my friend will help me. Oh, there we go. At any rate, I thank you so much for being here tonight. I hope you'll come back and join us again, and tell Brent that the next time he better get his phone working.
Oh, yes, and we'll talk more together. That will be a very interesting conversation. I look forward to that.
Thank you so much, and God bless you now and always. And Jill, thank you for calling in. You're a sweetheart. You're an angel.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jill. Thank you, Jill.
Okay, so once again, we come to a close. Now we can pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all unique creations of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who are having a spiritual experience. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize. And my outro's not playing, and that's okay, because this is technology, and I'm just grateful that you have all been here tonight. God bless you. Keep the faith. Hang in there, and do better than that. Thrive now and always. Thanks, Christine.
Thank you, David.
Good night.
Good night.